The wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going on a Friday on B&E. That is right. The end is here of a very long, hot work week, but a lot to do. Great sports Friday. 4 hours of fun and conversation begins right now. However you find us on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and we're always streaming live, local, and digital on your Horn app and at hornfm.com. Our Twitch channel also up and running. Say hi to the camera as we get you rolling on this Friday morning. Lots to dive into. Good NBA playoffs last night as the Bucks respond, and more developing situations from Dallas. We'll get to the Rick Carlisle situation there and look forward to a busy weekend that includes the Longhorns in Omaha, the Austin FC home opener, and plenty more to get into as we get you rolling on this Friday morning. Appreciate you being there, and it's going to be a good one, live, local, and digital. How are you, Mr. Godbolt?
I'm doing fine, and happy Juneteenth to all, as a matter of fact, a national holiday.
It is.
Celebrated by us all, and it is truly a difference maker throughout throughout our country, and especially throughout the state of Texas. As for a long time, when I first came to the University of Texas and got into radio, I never celebrated Juneteenth. I didn't understand it from back east. I didn't know the meaning of Juneteenth, what it was all about. And so I poo-pooed that in my ignorance, and I apologize for that. But I am in full celebration over the last 6 years of what Juneteenth means to the African Americans and the people of the state of Texas. It's the acknowledgement. Not just people that are free, that black people were free, that the acknowledgement today of freedom for slaves. Galveston, Texas, 1865, federal troops came to Galveston, Texas to let them know that for over 2.5 years, the Emancipation Proclamation by Abraham Lincoln said that all men are free, all slaves are free, but it didn't get to Texas for 2.5 years. And the acknowledgement now that of the freedom of slaves in this state means an awful lot to an awful lot of people. I did not realize that, but I realize it now. So I would say to everybody, let's all celebrate like we celebrate many other cultures. You know, we celebrate, we still do. Of course, we do the for Irish people, for Hispanic people. We have their days. Let's all celebrate this as one. Enjoy Juneteenth. It is tomorrow. As I said, my ignorance led me astray. I didn't understand who the hell would want to be a slave for two and a half more years. Nobody would want to be a slave. And I thought that why do you have a celebration for something like this when you were free 2.5 years ago? But as I thought about it and time has passed, Zay, E, who the hell would want to be a slave for 2.5 more years? Didn't make any sense. Why was I mad at a celebration of freedom? And the acknowledgement now makes me very, very happy for all the people of the state of Texas, not just African-American people, but all people.
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. Tomorrow is June 19th, so Juneteenth will be honored and celebrated, and rightfully so, as the word didn't spread. We didn't have social media back in the day to spread the word, and absolutely. I mean, two more years of living in slavery and living not free, because the number one right of every American is freedom, in my opinion, and I think most people's opinion. And they did not have that, and that is absolutely right. And it's going to be a great weekend. A lot to dive into, a lot of big conversations, and well said by you as we get this thing rolling on a Friday morning. And U.S. Open round one mostly in the books. We'll get you the leaderboard and the conversations that surround that. Also, the weekend coming, David Pierce and the Longhorns in Omaha in Texas baseball, and the rest of your Friday morning. As we get this thing rolling, it's going to be about 1,000 degrees through your weekend, but that's
yes,
good.
It is.
That's okay. We can handle that, right? as we get in. It's mid to late June with good stuff coming this weekend. No doubt about that. And Juneteenth. So I know there are celebrations around Central Texas. Are you planning to attend anything this weekend tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I've gone for the last couple of years over to the east side for the march. And then that's about it for me. I mean, there's so many things that we still have to do that, you know, I know BK is going down to Galveston to celebrate, as a matter of fact. Headed down there way to see his folks. He said, I'll be a part of the celebration tomorrow. So, and Galveston has a big mural up. It's big time in Galveston. And throughout parts of, not just in Texas, but Kansas, places like that. It's just not really celebrated that much in different parts of our country. I mean, even by African Americans, like back east. But this'll ring the bell right here for sure. So it's kind of cool. It's very cool, as a matter of fact. Yep. But we've got so many things. I mean, I got the soccer game. There's so many things on the watch.
Are you going to the soccer game tomorrow night?
Hell yeah, I am.
Nice.
Got to get there.
Yeah, the Austin FC will open up. We'll talk next hour in about, just right at 1 hour from now. Andy Lockman will join us. He's the president of the Austin FC, and they will open up the new Q2 Stadium as their game with the San Jose Earthquakes. You know, their first home game after 8 straight games on the road to start the season. They had the friendly on Wednesday night with the U.S. Women's National Team. We'll talk to Andy about those plans and what's coming out at Austin FC in the weekend on tap. A lot of excitement in Austin, Texas for that. Let's start with your headlines, trending topics. We get you going on this Friday morning. News that you need to know as you get up and out. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news. We'll start in golf. Round one of the U.S. Open 2021 mostly in the books. 14 players still need to finish up their first round because of a fog delay early yesterday. Pushed it back an hour and a half, 2 hours. But your leaders are Russell Henley and Louis Oosthuizen, both at 4-under. Now, Oosthuizen still has 2 holes to play. He's through 16. He's got to play 17 and 18 this morning to finish up his round, his first round before he plays number 2. But he's at 4-under with Henley. Also on the leaderboard, Rafa Cabrera-Bello at 3-under. He's in there along with Francesco Molinari. And a group at 2-under includes San Diego native Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, Hayden Buckley, and Sebastian Munoz. More surprising news in the NBA from Dallas yesterday with the announcement that Rick Carlisle has resigned as the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Ends his 13-year tenure there, led them to the championship back in 2011. The decision comes one day after the departure of longtime president of basketball operations Donnie Nelson, which removes both of the key figures from the franchise's championship run and really the last decade of Maverick basketball. Further entrenches Mark Cuban as the person in charge of that Mavericks organization. Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo combined for 68 points last night. Milwaukee Bucks defeat Brooklyn 104-89 to force a Game 7 in that Eastern Conference semifinals. They moved to 3-0 on their home floor. Home team has won every game in that series. Giannis, the Greek freak, had 30 points, 17 rebounds. Middleton scored a game-high 38, had 5 steals as well, as Milwaukee's starting lineup scored 100 of their 104 points in that victory. Game 7 will be tomorrow night. Major League Baseball last night, Jose Altuve homered for the 4th time in 3 games. Michael Brantley, Abraham Toro also went deep as the Astros opened a 4-game series with the first place Chicago White Sox with a 10-2 victory. And at Dell Diamond last night, Round Rock Express opened their homestand with a 6-2 loss to Oklahoma City on a thirsty Thursday.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Looks like Kevin Durant's going to have to come out with another one of those games, another 50 point. This has got to be 50 to 55.
Yeah, 32
next time
last
out.
Night.
Yeah, he's going to have to score big because James Harden, that's like playing with a half a player right now, although he was better than he was before. That guy played 40 minutes.
Yeah,
just on a bad wheel last night.
He's playing
about
halfway. I mean, you can tell. I mean,
he's
kind of half speed right now trying to play, and that's
can't get going.
Yeah, and you see, you know, when you're the Brooklyn Nets and you play in a salary cap league and you bring in Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, it's hard to build depth around that, right? You can't build much of a bench around your superstars, and when you're playing with 1.5 superstars out, obviously Kyrie Irving's got the ankle issue. And James Harden's playing about halfway. It's almost like Kevin Durant's saving himself for back home in Game 7 to try to get it. I mean, it's going to be an interesting game tomorrow night.
Well, the other guy that has a score is the guy Harris. Like, when all those guys are together, he scores. You know, he gets 18, 21 or whatever. He's got to score now. I mean, he's got to pick up the pace a little bit. Not with the big three are in there and he's the guy who sits in the corner and shoots a bunch of jumpers. He's got to be the guy who's going to score, because James, I just don't see him scoring 20 some points. He's got there's no push, there's no strength in his leg. And for the Bucks, I'm just surprised they're going to just run them up and down the court. And especially if he's going to play 40 minutes, it's like playing 5-on-4.
Well, and we hammered the Bucks the other day after allowing 50 to Kevin Durant and the defense, but you got to give Bucks credit for rallying back last night. They do have the better overall roster, right? Like 1-10 and depth. And
right now they do, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and Middleton was great last night. I mean, they do have a pulse, and they found a way last night with Giannis and Middleton playing to a star level, which he did not do. But, you know, at some point for the Bucks, they got to win a game in Brooklyn. They got to win a game on Brooklyn's home floor if they're going to win the series. That's how this, you know, series has gone. It's 3-3, it's 3-2, or 3-3, yes, and the home team's won every game. So at some point, you got to figure out a way to win a road game, which they'll try to do tomorrow night, and it'll be in Brooklyn as the 2 seed versus the 3.
Say the for Brooklyn and also for Middleton with the Bucks, if he doesn't get it done in Game 7, he'll still be the guy that they say just isn't a number 2, right? If you look at his average, if you take all his scoring throughout the 6 games right now, he's got a really nice average.
Yeah.
He's got a nice average even for a number 2. But it'll all come down to Game 7. If he scores 18 in Game 7 and he's not a standout, people will say the same thing about him, right? And they lose.
Yeah.
He's just not a number 2.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of the calls were a little questionable last night. Chris Middleton got fouled on a 3-point play at least 5 times, which is a little absurd. But, again, you do have to give credit to the Milwaukee Bucks. And Kevin Durant airballed a 3 last night. You know who contested that 3? Giannis. So Budenholzer made a little bit, of some adjustments that he needed to make, and Giannis was guarding KD for a good part of the game. And again, he doesn't have to guard him the whole game, but guard him some to make him see different options and make him work a little bit. And yeah, going back to Brooklyn for Game 7, when the series where I told you guys was going to be legendary.
You did. You said it would be a great series. Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those where, you know, it's just kind of, it's been chalk. I mean, the home team's won every night and then won every game. And the winner moves on to face the winner, the Hawks 76ers series, which we'll see where that goes, because the 76ers have stolen back-to-back games after being down nearly 20 points or over 20 points in both of those games. Eastern Conference, interesting. Western Conference, you've got the Clippers facing the Jazz, and you've got the Suns waiting on whoever wins that series out west. So,
and Kawhi will not play.
Kawhi will not play.
Yep.
Kawhi will not play in the final game of that series coming up tonight, as a matter of fact, is going to be that game. All right, so a lot to get into. Steve Sarkisian holding court yesterday or weighing in on the Boys and Girls Club. It was interesting. You know, Jeff Howe did his show, Light the Tower. Craig Way's in Omaha. So Jeff did the show from the Fairmont Hotel yesterday. Steve Sarkisian, the new Texas head football coach, was the keynote speaker at the Boys and Girls Club summer luncheon. He was pretty candid yesterday about the challenges he's faced since getting to Austin as the head coach of the Longhorns. We'll dive in there. But while we're on the NBA, let's mention, you know, yesterday we talked to Ari Temkin from Dallas, and it was on the heels of the firing of Donnie Nelson of the Dallas Mavericks. And now word comes that Rick Carlisle, as he says, my complete decision, Rick Carlisle's out as the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, Buck, which, you know, earlier in the week, the story came out from theathletic.com that the former sports gambler Bob Vulgaris is taking more and more of a prominent role within the Dallas Mavericks front office and organization, which, you know, that sounds like some type of, it sounds like we're talking about a TV show or something, that a former sports gambler is in charge of the Dallas Mavericks, and it's causing friction within the front office. Upon that report coming out, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, had a one-word tweet that said BS, and he wrote the whole word out. Like the story, like he retweeted the story and wrote complete BS. Actually, it was a two-word tweet, complete BS. And now within 48 hours to 72 hours from that story hitting the news from theathletic.com, both Donnie Nelson and Rick Carlisle are out. And Mark Cuban had said Rick Carlisle would be back to run the team for a 14th season. Not going to happen. So if you're an NBA fan and you root for the Dallas Mavericks, you got to be wondering what is happening in Dallas with both Rick Carlisle and, I mean, the stabilizers of your organization in the last 15 years are both gone, and a former sports gambler who's an analytics guy, he's a numbers guy, comes in completely outside in 2018. Within 2.5-3 years, he is now seemingly in charge of that organization with the year of Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Cuban, to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, what does it matter to Luka? Whose side is Luka? Which side is he on? I mean, is he upset that his coach is now gone? Or is he just, if he's fine with that, then they can move right along, I would think.
Well, the report on Monday, that story hit the news on Monday, and then theathletic.com that kind of, you know, ripped the Band-Aid off of this conversation, that who is this guy, where did he come from, reporting that he was creating friction within the organization. And, you know, Donnie Nelson had been there 24 years, Rick Carlisle had been there 13, they'd won a championship in 2011, haven't won a playoff series since. So it's not like those guys were absolutely knocking it out of the park, but it set the table that there's real friction in the organization. Mark Cuban, again, with his tweet, was, you know, total BS, not true. But then since the story has come out, both are gone, which leads you to believe that the story was 100% accurate and 100% on point. And I don't know how much Rick Carlisle's decision was predicated on the decision to choose. I mean, because if you play this out, you just play the dominoes, the story comes out, Mark Cuban reacts how he reacts, Bob Vulgaris is now pushed forward, Rick Carlisle is out, and then Donnie Nelson is out, which tells you that the power struggle was won by Vulgaris, which then Rick Carlisle says, you know what, I think I'll just move on. I think I'll just go somewhere else.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, once again, I don't care about the drama. I want to know what the star, what corner is the star on.
I should have said, I apologize, that in the story, part of the reporting, which has now been proven prophetic, it is that Luka does not like Bob Vulgaris. They're not, that he's not a fan.
Then that's a problem.
It's a huge problem, right? I mean, yes. that's the center of the conversation of Luka Doncic is 22 years old. He reportedly does not like Bob Vulgaris. He does not like the direction of the organization. And over the last 2 days, we've seen the departure of Donnie Nelson and now Rick Carlisle. And, you know, Rick Carlisle land on his feet. There are five or six job openings out there. The Boston Celtics will likely be interested.
He'll get the job this morning.
Yeah, most likely. You know, he was in Indiana, then he's in Dallas, wins a championship. He's seen as one of the top five coaches in the NBA. And Mark Cuban is seen more and more as the ultimate owner, meddler, slash, you know, whatever he's going to be labeled as by fans and by people that cover the
team.
He's
the boss.
It's his team.
Yeah.
It's his team. He can do whatever he wants with his basketball team. But Luka Doncic, in that reporting, which has now, again, been proven to be true, that he denied, not a fan of Bob Vulgaris.
Then they have a problem on their hands.
A major.
Yeah, that's not just a problem. That's your franchise guy, and it's just like any other sport. If your franchise guy is not happy because you as the owner just want your buddy in there, and you've taken out guys, and you know, and who's to say it's time for some of those guys to go? Like Donnie Nelson. I mean, 25 years, they haven't done very much, so maybe it was time for him to move on. But it, when you don't have a replacement and you've let a guy who's, you know, not really been in the organization that long, now all of a sudden take over, and plus you're a meddling owner, that becomes a problem. It just becomes a problem when your star is not happy. And a star that young, too?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the future of the game. He's the future of the Mavericks, for sure.
Yeah.
And can you keep him placated? And you know, I shouldn't say you have to placate, because there are, you know, reports in New Orleans yesterday that, you know, Stan Van Gundy was fired by the Pelicans, and that you know, Zion Williamson and his family aren't happy with the direction of that organization. You know, I know for a lot of fans, it becomes more and more tiresome to hear about the superstar who runs the team. We know about, I mean, James Harden did it in Houston. We've seen that before. You know, Kawhi Leonard was the replacement, or he was the man in San Antonio after Tim Duncan's retirement, and you know, he obviously didn't want to be there. But at this point, it just feels like the adults in the room are losing in Dallas. I mean, this is my read of it. I mean, Rick Carlisle seems one of the better coaches. Donnie Nelson has done an incredible job. He, you know, engineered the draft night trade to acquire Luka Doncic, to bring him to Dallas. His father, of course, Don Nelson. Zay, what do you say about, what's your read on what's happening with the Mavs? And again, you're talking about Bob Vulgaris, who was brought in 2018 to be the analytics guy. I mean, his claim to fame before getting to Dallas was he was a prolific sports gambler. Like, he was one of the more, he was on Bill Simmons' podcast for years as just kind of a gambling, you know, talking about, you know, bets and things. And he's now seemingly in charge of the Dallas Mavericks. That has to be problematic if you're a fan and if you're Luka Doncic.
Yeah, it's just a huge, huge issue. And it's not surprising. I remember watching the Clippers series, and Carlisle called a timeout and Luka did not want it. And he was very animated about how pissed he was during that time. I don't remember which game it was, but he was hot. And I've never seen Luka like that toward his coaches. So you could tell something fishy was going on. And, you know, I just kind of threw it to the side because I was, you know, Luka's a competitor, so I get it. But, yeah, this is a guy that's been a pro for a very long time, so he knows how organizations work. Like, his dad was a pro, so, you know, you're not going to really fool him with some fugazi stuff when you, you know, try to break stuff down to him. Like, he's smarter than you think. And, yeah, I think Rick Carlisle saw the writing on the wall. And when you're 23 years old, sometimes it's hard for, you know, the higher-ups to listen to you.
Well, and it says a lot, Buck, that, you know, Mark Cuban, after they lost to the Clippers for the second straight year in the playoffs, and they had a, you know, commanding lead in this. Remember, they won both games in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and came home. And all they had to do is win one home game, and they likely win that series. It went to seven, and the Clippers won it back in L.A. Clippers won all three in Dallas to get back in the series, and now they're, you know, fighting Utah in the Western Conference playoffs. But after the series was over, you know, Mark Cuban was pretty clear that he wanted Rick Carlisle to be back. He wanted him to be his coach, but it was about above him, right? It was about above Rick Carlisle, and it was about Donnie Nelson and this guy Bob Vulgaris. And you know, clearly, Vulgaris is one out, and Carlisle doesn't want any part of it. Because let me think about this from Rick Carlisle's side. You're a coach, and now you're going to, you know, you'll land on your feet. You'll be a head coach somewhere, I would imagine, but you have an opportunity to coach arguably who's going to be the best player in this league for the next 10 years, but you don't want any part of it. That speaks volumes to me about the owner and what's happening above you know, the coach's level, right? I mean, you have a chance to take Luka into his prime and help build a roster around a once-in-a-generation player, and you know, you choose to walk out. To me, if you're a Dallas Mavericks fan, that is very troubling that someone who is considered a tremendous coach doesn't want any part of that situation.
Well, it's all about the player. If the management doesn't have it together and the coach doesn't want to be there because things aren't stable enough, and just like Luka, he's been a pro for a long time. So is Rick Carlisle. He knows when there's a bunch of bull crap going on around him, and he doesn't want, you know, whether the guy's a former gambler or not. I mean, if he knows his business and he knows his stuff, that's different. But if he's just some guy that makes Mark Cuban laugh and tells a couple good jokes, and now he's a part of the establishment of that organization, then Rick Carlisle doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want that guy to all of a sudden become his boss. So you just gotta wait and see. And if, as Zay said, if Luka doesn't want it and doesn't understand what's going on with it, he's not going to be there very long. He's going to find a way to get out of there. And then Mark Cuban is up, you know what's creek. I mean, he can be the owner, but he can just be just a constant loser from that point on. And then he can have his friend who can make him laugh and have jokes with him and head to casinos and all that kind of stuff. But it's really, as I said, Rick Carlisle is going to go and get a job. I mean, the guy's, he's a good coach. He's been around. He's as good as any of the other guys coaching the game of basketball. But it's all about the star. You know, the NBA is run by the players. So if your organization is pissed off the player, see ya. That's a problem. That's where the problem is. It's not with the guy because he's a gambler. It's because your star is not going to be happy, if that's true. Now, if he sides with Mark Cuban and Mark Cuban can talk him into everything's going to be all right, then I guess they'll be all right.
Well, there's a money ball aspect to it at some level. But as this says, Vulgaris started betting on the NBA in the late 90s. By the time he was 25, he had amassed a fortune, was regularly placing $1 million bets during a single day, $1 million in bets during a single day on NBA games. He's now 45, or to be 46 on July 4th. And he's now in charge, essentially, of the Dallas Mavericks. But really, Mark Cuban is in charge. And again, nothing against sports gambling. That's what he does. That's what his fortune was made in. But he has zero history in running a basketball organization, you know, scouting players, any of that.
He's a friend of the owner. He's got the ear of the owner. And that's all that, yeah.
And I would just say, for Maverick fans, that's very troubling. That's not the person that would speak ill of Mark Cuban, that his decision making, and it's now forced out Donnie Nelson and Rick Carlisle to boot, both of one helped win a championship in Dallas. And as most people who cover the Mavericks or have been around the Mavericks for the last decade, the biggest detriment to the Mavericks since they won the championship with Dirk in 2011 has been Mark Cuban.
Yeah, the handling of the women in his office that other crazy stuff.
Oh, they had the horrible scandal.
Watch. Yes.
Yes. And just the roster management, the meddling of Mark Cuban within the organization, you know, they didn't let Dirk and that team come back and follow it up and try to win another championship. They, you would argue, the last 4 or 5 years of Dirk's career, they, you know, he was more, you know, trying to cut players to chase stars and chase free agents than actually build a roster around Dirk Nowitzki. And now here you are with Rick Carlisle and Donnie Nelson.
Obviously, I've been wrong for years because I, you know, and I'm seeing this over the last, you know, when Mark Cuban was thinking about running for president and all this stuff. I thought for a long, long time, I know he used to wear those little Smedium T-shirts and sit there on the sideline, but I thought he was wanting to be one of those owners that was going to be behind the scene, let the organization do its thing. I'm the owner. Yeah, I go to games. I jump up and down. I have fun watching my team. But now he's actually really into what goes on with the players, and I don't know if he knows how to do that. And now he's making himself the centerpiece of the organization. Mark Cuban's making himself the centerpiece and not the players, and that's where it gets scary. Now he's going to be Jerry Jones.
Well, and what Jerry Jones allegedly
Jerry,
right?
Jerry has winners. He's done it before.
What's going on in Dallas? Come on now. All right, so that's out there this morning, the NBA playoffs with these conference semifinals continuing. We'll get into the Longhorns. Longhorns in Omaha. They'll play Mississippi State tomorrow night, or Sunday night, I should say. Today is Friday. They'll play Sunday night in Omaha. We'll talk David Pearson and the Horns as they make their 37th trip to Omaha. Craig Wade will also have his Craig Wade report from Omaha this morning. We'll get into that, your B&E fact of the day. We'll talk to Andy Lockmain. He's the president of the Austin FC. They're going to play their home opener tomorrow night out at Q2 Stadium. We'll talk with him. We're also going to talk with Brian Davis, Austin American Statesman, this morning. He was at the Steve Sarkisian luncheon yesterday. We'll let you know what the new Texas head coach talked about yesterday, the Boys and Girls Club of Central Texas, the challenges he is facing since getting to Austin back in January. That we'll detail that. And Keith Moreland will join us as well, preview the Texas field in the World Series with Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Virginia on the Longhorn side of the bracket. Plenty to do. Just getting going on a Friday morning. Table is set on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. You know, we are live, local, and digital, always streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on this Friday into a very, very busy weekend. U.S. Open, round one in the books. Or mostly round one. 14 players, including Louis Oosthuizen, who's got a share of the lead at 4 under par with Russell Henley, has to finish a couple holes today. Also got Austin FC, home opener tomorrow night. Texas Longhorns are in Omaha, Nebraska to open up play in the College World Series, which should be a lot of fun to wrap up your Father's Day. You know, we do Yo Mama jokes on Mother's Day Friday. We don't.
Yeah, Dad.
We'll just say Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Enjoy your weekend. Juneteenth is tomorrow. As Bucky
started
the show,
we
don't get any jokes. Nah. We just want to watch golf and the baseball game and Longhorns headed off to Omaha. What'd you make of the golf yesterday? Torrey Pines had a couple hour fog delay to start the morning, and here we are with there's Brooks Koepka. There's John Rahm, who you thought was going to have a good weekend. There's Louis Oosthuizen, who's just as rock solid as it gets, hitting the balls long and straight. Russell Henley is your leader at 4 under par.
Yeah, I expect Hideki to make his move today to be in the thick of things, getting ready for Saturday. And
you took Hideki Matsuyama. He's at 2 under.
And hang in there. So, but there's a lot of guys. And I don't know what I was thinking about on Friday when I said, you know, yeah, I expect this to be about 12 under. I don't think so.
That's the U.S. Open, though. That would be, you know, Tiger Woods did that one time when he ran away with the U.S. Open.
Right.
Rory McIlroy has done it on occasion.
Yeah, the rough is ugly. It's gnarly, nasty. They've got rough around the greens. That mess around the greens is what is really – you got to be really skillful. Those little chips to get it back on the green and the ball doesn't stop near the pin. It goes, you know, 12 feet by and all that. It's a gnarly place right now, and it looks tough. But some guys are handling it early. Kepka's right there. The guys who have been there before, have done this stuff, are kind of right in the thick of things. You know, Molinari hasn't played well all for 2 years now. He's back, and he's getting his game together. But it's really fun to watch. This is the one that I think people like to see when professionals struggle like you do. You know what I mean? In the rough and having to push the ball out.
Well, I mean, we're so
out.
Used to watching the best players in the world week by week shoot at birdies, right? It's about birdies.
Yeah,
it's about finishing 20, 21 under,
right,
over four rounds and shoot a 65. Well, you're not doing that at the U.S. Open. As you said, everything is a challenge. I mean, put it in the fairway is difficult. And if you're not in the fairway, you're going to be in that thick rough, and you pretty much have to take your medicine, and because, you know, if the ball's just a little bit off. I mean, it's not even that bad of a drive, right? For most of us, that would be a perfect drive. We'd love it, but the fairways are 22 to 28 yards across. So
yeah, and the guy who's not taking advantage of is DeChambeau. I mean, he didn't hit a lot of fairways, but when he hit the fairways, that guy was like 100 yards away, and he didn't do anything with the shots that he had. They were way past everybody else that actually hit the fairway. He was in the rough.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And
though,
he paid for it in the rough.
But even if you're long, if you're off the fairway, it's such thick rough, you can't put any spin on the ball. You can't really even try to get close.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying he never took advantage of when he was actually in the fairway ahead of everybody because he had no chance. He was in a lot of bunkers yesterday.
Yeah, and as you said, once you're even around the greens, just a little bit off the greens is a really challenging shot. And that's what the USGA sets up a U.S. Open to be, an ultimate test of golf. I mean, you've got to be precise at every shot. I mean, it tests every shot. That's why the mental test of four rounds of this, the weather will be a factor with fog and then the winds and coming off the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, if you're plus four or five, you're still in this.
I mean, absolutely.
You're very much in it. And Phil yesterday was so frustrated by the fans. Once again, you know, golf has let, you know, this whole DeChambeau and all this other stuff get to a point where, you know, it affects now regular normal fans that just kind of hang out are driving guys crazy with their cell phones and everything else. Nobody knows how to behave at the golf course, and Phil's now having a hard time with it. And he's a happy-go-lucky guy that doesn't mind a lot of things. You know what I mean? He's friendly with the fans, but that dude was not happy yesterday.
Yeah, he shot 4 over 75 yesterday. And got off to a rough start as he was one of the early guys off. He'll tee off this afternoon. He'll be playing in primetime tonight, Phil Mickelson, and see if he can make the cut at plus four. But you're right. I mean, he was frustrated with cell phones and fan cell phones and distractions around him. And, you know, that's, I want to say that's kind of par for the course, not to borrow not to be cliche, but he really is. I mean, he's the fan favorite. He's the hometown guy. Everyone's going to be following Phil wherever he goes.
You're not crying about it, but he's
frustrated by it.
Yeah,
no doubt.
It's very noticeable. He said, you know, that's the way it is. You know, when you I'm fortunate to have these people around me and want to follow me, but he's like, turn it on a mute. Just hit mute and everything is good, but they don't do that.
Well, we know at the Masters you can't bring a phone, right? They check your phone at the door,
right?
Essentially when you come in. But you're right. I mean, cell phones going off, phones ringing. These guys are trying to lock in, and as we just said, it's an ultimate test of golf. I mean, every shot is that. That's the whole point of the U.S. Open is to test every shot for four days.
It certainly is different than how they have it set up for the Farmers.
Oh yeah,
this is mean right here. Yeah. This just looks mean.
Narrow fairways, thick rough, just off the green. So if you hit a shot that's pretty good but just not great, it challenges you to hit great shots every time, right? Or really good shots every time, which anybody that plays the game of golf understands is very, very difficult to do.
If you're in our challenge, if you have some picks that are plus three and four, you're right in there. You know, but Zay killed our picks yesterday by taking Weeb Simpson, who's plus eight. The dark horse is just crushing us.
Is he throwing you under the bus, say, for Weeb? I thought you were the one that liked Webb Simpson.
He liked all the picks. The problem is he's so old he doesn't remember his password, so he has to use mine. So when you see Isaiah Collier up on the leaderboard or whatever, that's all Buck's picks.
It won't be on the leaderboard because of Weeb. What was it? Who do we have yesterday said Buck? That guy doesn't hit it long enough.
Garrett Johnson was with
us
from Torrey Pines.
He's plus eight.
Plus eight.
After day one. Come on.
He didn't like your pick.
He hated my pick.
Well, I picked Phil Mickelson to win. He's four over. So, I mean, here we go. I mean, what am I doing? I also picked Will Zalatoris. He's not playing well. He's plus four. But as you said, you know, just because Russell Henley's minus four and those guys are plus four doesn't mean that can't shift today.
The winds haven't picked up yet.
Yeah.
Things haven't happened. It's just been foggy.
Based on tee times and who plays when, it'll iron out into the weekend at the U.S. Open. But a very difficult golf course, no doubt about it, as we get you rolling and get you going on this Friday morning.
Hey, what if Zay, you mentioned it to me, what if Carlisle doesn't like Luca? What if Rick Carlisle basically thinks it may be some of the problem, and said, you know what, I've been doing this a long time. Maybe I don't want to do this with a young guy and have a rebuild. It's not like I just got in the league. Maybe I don't want to do this with this cat. You know what I mean? Maybe Luca's part of the problem. Is that possible?
I mean, I do think that just because of how Luca was all year with the refs, and he seemed disgruntled at times. And
got a lot of fouls, didn't he? He got a lot of technical fouls.
Yeah, he got a ton of technical fouls. And again, we don't know what's really going on at the end of the day, but yeah, I could see that. I could see
like
that.
Rick Carlisle, like, hey, I've been around a lot of pros. I've been around, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, and now I got you, and you're whining and crying and everything else along with what's going on in the front office. Maybe Rick Carlisle said it's time, you know?
See, I mean, maybe. I mean, I can't tell you that's not true. I will just paint the picture of what's gone on this week, that the story comes out Monday.
Right.
That people in the organization are not happy with this guy, Bob, whatever his name is, the former sports gambler, Vulgaris, who's now getting more and gaining more. Remember, he's only been there since 2018. He's only been there 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gaining more and more control and ear in the ear of Mark Cuban. So the story comes out, which came from somewhere, right? I mean, the story that they wrote in the Athletic.com didn't just appear.
No. Somebody's got that leaked out. Yes.
I would argue it's Rick Carlisle.
Could be.
Actually, that Rick Carlisle's people, or Rick Carlisle himself, got this story out that this guy Bob Vulgaris is becoming a problem in the organization, which Mark Cuban responded with a two-word tweet, complete BS. But then within 48 hours of the story coming out, Donnie Nelson is out. And the story's all about how Bob Vulgaris is gaining more power within the organization. It's creating tension in the organization. And Luka Doncic is not a fan of Bob Vulgaris, which, you know, most people in Dallas understand. Well, 2 days later, Donnie Nelson's out. And then 1 day later, Rick Carlisle's out, which would indicate that, you know, the story's put out by, you know, I would just argue either Donnie Nelson's people or Rick Carlisle's side to force the hand. Hand forced. Mark Cuban doubled down and sided with Vulgaris. And now they're both out, and you're stuck with Mark Cuban and Bob Vulgaris. Now, I'm not saying that Luka Doncic doesn't have flaws or he's a perfect player, but he is the best young player in the game. I mean, and he is 22 years old. You know, I don't want to use the LeBron James, Michael Jordan comparison, but people in and around the league look at this and say, this guy is the future of this league. He is the next superstar in the league. I don't know that Rick Carlisle, I don't think he's going to shy away from that situation. That would be an ultimate. That's a player you want to coach into his prime years, I would argue. So I'm going to say it's more about Mark Cuban at this point than Luka Doncic. That would be my opinion based on what you just said.
Yep.
And look, does Luka have to grow up? Does Luka have to, you know, become more of a pro and understand how the league works and, you know, be able to, you know, because some people say Luka hogs the ball, so, you know, and dominates the ball too much and it hurts his ball club. You know, those are all conversations. But I think the long and short of what's gone on this week with the changing face of the front office of the Mavericks starts and ends with Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
And we'll see where that goes. But look, I mean, obviously, when you have a young star like that, that it's unfortunate the way the NBA works. That's got to become your focus. You got to figure out how you're re-signing him, what your long-term plan
is. NBA. That's the way the NBA is, period.
Yeah, and that's not new. I mean, you know, Magic Johnson, as a young player in L.A., got a coach fired when he was 22 years old and, you know, it worked out because Pat Riley was put in place and they went on and the Showtime Lakers were born. This is not a new phenomenon in the NBA when you only have five players on the floor at a time and a one superstar changes the equation.
Yeah, I just like to see when Mark Cuban was just a fan and not so much, you know, you didn't realize his ownership. You realized he was just a fan of basketball. Now he's become... He's Jerry Shark Tank, Jerry Jones. Yeah, man.
Well, I mean, look, Mark Cuban.
I am a monkey fan.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Mark Cuban is a billionaire. He's a self-made billionaire. This is a guy that slept in his car at times during college, right? And, you know, worked his way to billionaire status. This was not given to him. It was not inherited. Because people are comparing it to Cal McNair. Several people on the text line are comparing it to the Houston Texans. And Cal McNair inherited the Texans, right, when his father Bob passed away. Mark Cuban earned every dollar he's ever made. I mean, he is a self-made billionaire. So he's a very smart person. And so that's hard to, you know, I'm not saying that to defend him. I'm just saying that those are the type of people that when people say they think they know everything, he probably does think he knows everything, right?
Yeah.
He thinks he's smarter than you. He believes he's smarter than you. And for a long time, he's trusted Rick Carlisle and Donnie Nelson. Maybe he thinks there's a new direction, and we'll see. And that's why I compare it to Moneyball, right? Moneyball was, Billy Bean and the Oakland A's thinking outside the box, going a different direction, trying to bring an outsider in from Yale University that was an economics degree to build a baseball roster in a smarter way.
Yeah, but it's a joker that gambles millions of dollars, isn't it?
Agreed.
They're not trying to do anything with finances.
But what you're saying about Peter Brand with Moneyball is exactly what the status quo said. Oh, come on, this is just a guy that doesn't know anything about baseball. He's never played the game. He's never managed an inning, never scouted a player.
But Moneyball doesn't always work, correct?
No, exactly. Well, that's kind of the point I'm making with Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban's a smart guy, but at the same time, he's thinking outside the box. Is he going to be right or wrong? We'll all decide, but it's his team at the end of the day.
He gets on base.
Does he get on base? He gets on base.
Yeah.
As Brad Pitt famously said in the movie. All right, we're late for the break. Let's get to the timeout. We will also get to your B&E fact of the day as we get you going on this Friday morning. First, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, B&E with you. Coming up after the top of the hour, we set your headlines and also dive into our coach's corner. In it, we will talk with the president of the Austin FC, Andy Lockmay, who's got quite an historic week on his hands, and a lot happening out there. They had the U.S. Women's National Team in town on Wednesday night with a sellout crowd and the electric atmosphere to see them beat Nigeria 2-0. And then tomorrow night, the Austin FC, the homestanding Austin FC, are back home for their inaugural home opener, which should be a lot of fun as Austin's first ever Major League professional sports team takes the pitch and hosts San Jose. We'll talk to Andy about the excitement and are they ready and what's going on with Austin FC. All things with Andy Lockman coming up. Also, David Pearson, the Longhorns, opening up play in Omaha this weekend. We talked with David yesterday and indicated that Ty Madden likely to get the start, Buck, likely to get the start on Sunday night.
Yes.
But there's a media, they don't do press conferences anymore. They do Zoom calls with the media. That'll be this morning and an availability with David Pearce. I think most are anticipating that he will make that announcement. But maybe not. He doesn't have to announce who's going to be a starting pitcher until the game, hand somebody the ball, and they walk out there for the first inning.
But what they do? Do they just give you the lineup and say, okay, there he is?
Well, he's got to hand out a lineup card to the umpire before the ball game.
Right, correct.
So that would be when you...
He can wait that long, right?
Sure. Yeah, he doesn't have to. And he can change his mind if he wants to.
Yeah.
But, once Ty Madden takes the mound, he comes out...
He's pretty much there.
Yeah. But, we'll see. I mean, David Pearce did say yesterday in our conversation that... they're going to, as they get, the week has been interesting. They had the send-off and, getting there, hunkering down and really, diving into this Mississippi State roster becomes a question of, okay, who fits, right? What's the best way to attack this lineup? Because, the one thing that David Pierce said yesterday I thought was interesting, well, several things he said I thought were interesting, but he said, he actually referenced DKR, right, Darryl K. Royal, and talked about, dance with who brung you. And, stick with what you do. But at the same time, it's about surviving in advance. It's about staying in the winner's bracket. And if Mississippi State is a team that, which they do, hunt the fastball and have a bunch of really good fastball hitters, Ty Madden's strength is his fastball, do you consider a Pete Hansen or do you consider a Tristan Stevens? Or, as you would say, are you overthinking the game at that point? Just go with what brung you at that and put your best pitcher on the mound. But there's a debate whether the last 2 months of the year, who has been the Longhorns' best pitcher? Is it Ty Madden or is it Tristan Stevens? And Tristan, beats you with offbeat spot, the sinker, doesn't rely on the fastball, pitches to contact, forces a lot of ground balls. We'll get that official announcement at some point today.
You got an ace. Whoever that ace has been all year long, I know it's at the end of the season, and I always talk about the crescendo. I don't know. I want to get off to a good start. I just do. So... Well, whoever it is, they've got to back him up with great fielding, which they do, and great hitting, and great base running.
Well, last time we had this debate it was when they had a 4-team regional here.
Right.
They started with what was it?
Yeah, but they also played a team that was not competitive.
Yeah, Texas Southern.
Right.
Is it Texas Southern that they played? Who did they play? But yeah, they had their 4-team regional, and they threw Tristan Stevens and won that game. And,
yeah, which they could afford to have done.
Yeah, but again, in this scenario, you're in the same spot. So if you're to beat Mississippi State, then you're likely to play Tennessee. Tennessee plays Virginia in the early game on Sunday, and Tennessee's the number 3 national seed. It wouldn't be overthinking the game to say, can we beat Mississippi State with Tristan Stevens or Pete Hansen and have Ty Madden ready to go as our ace for Tennessee? Which that's not outside the completely crazy.
Either way, they got
idea.
Two good pitchers that could take them out.
Yeah, first team, all Big 12.
Yes,
and I think that's what we're saying. Like, who matches up better?
Yeah, that's up to the coaching staff.
Yeah, and that's what they get paid to do and figure out. But we anticipate that at some point this morning on that Zoom press conference, David Pierce will make it official, but maybe not. We do know the game will be 6 o'clock on Sunday night. We do know the pregame will be 5:45, and we do know you should be listening to it right here on the Horn when the Longhorns face Mississippi State at the College World Series. Coming up, Andy Lockmain, Austin FC, joins us in our Coach's Corner. We'll also reset those headlines. Can we get you your B&E Fact of the Day?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, it's official now. The Arizona Diamondbacks have lost 23 consecutive road games. 23 in a row. That is a modern-era record in Major League Baseball for futility. The fact of the day will be this. When was the last time the Arizona Diamondbacks won a game on the road? What was the date? The last time they actually won a game away from Phoenix, Arizona. It'll give you an indication of how long it's been and how futile that record is. We'll have that for you on the other side. Plus, Andy Lockmain in your Coach's Corner. It's B&E, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.